can get. We
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We are so glad that you have tuned in. Today is a very important day. We have a wonderful guest coming on. But first, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Barbara so she can start us off on the right track with prayer and some food for thought. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, Father, how good you are to us. We just love you and praise you. Father, we ask that you give us open ears, Lord, today, ears that are open and eyes that will see, Father, what you have for us to learn. We thank you, Father, that your word tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you, Lord God, raise up a standard against him. And, Father, I thank you that Joan Landis is one of those standards, Father, that you have raised up for this time. Father, she has such wisdom that you have given her. Help us to grow in that knowledge that she has, Lord, in understanding and wisdom, that we might know what to do and when to do it, how to do it, Father, according to your will, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. She'll be joining us shortly. I called her, and she was in the middle of something, but she said, oh, yes. You know, Joan, she always is so willing to help us out. And, Ms. Barbara, I titled today's show, CC, Common Core, Results in Worst Prepared Generation, but Are Set Up to Be Porn and Perp Ready. What a contrast. And you saw the article from The Federalist by Joy Pullman, and Joy Pullman is one of these great, really, I think, a researcher. And she has researched the education system greatly. And she's one of the first ones really to point out what's wrong with these standards. And what did you think of that, Ms. Barbara? What did you think of that result?
Well, you know, we predicted these results. Many others have as well. These dire results from Common Core. All the test scores are down. Children are not having that love of learning that they could have if they were given the right content in the right way at the right time. And so, you know, the results are predictable. Unfortunately, we just have a whole nation of children and families that are hurting. And it's so unnecessary. It could be so different for them. And that's another thing that just frustrates us so, because we know the traditional education methodology works. And the philosophy of education that we had traditionally works. And this Common Core and all the other ungodly experiments that they're doing on our children do not work. They do not help children. All they do is increase the number of teachers, the amount of money spent, because when there's failures, they put more money into it, more and more money into it. So it's just a vicious cycle that we've been in, and as I said, very predictable.
Oh, indeed. They have not been listening to parents. And I really think the educators have been brainwashed. They're the kindest people in the world, the teachers are, but they are also very loyal. And when you have your superintendents who are pretty much your boss trying to tell you at the beginning that this is so good and they need your help, right, Ms. Barbara? I mean, teachers are the most helpful group. They're one of the most helpful groups. So, you know, they were doing exactly what they went to do. They helped children. Yes, they would help their boss. I mean, who gives them, you know, good reports and, you know, helps them to get raises, you know. And you want to feed your family. But I think nowadays with what we're seeing with the National Education Association so much in support of Planned Parenthood and proudly standing with them, I think teachers at this time are leaving because they see the truth, And the good ones are leaving, and there's good ones trying to stay and stand in the gap, but they are overwhelmed, and it's really time for others to step in, like the church.
Diane, here in Dothan, I was told yesterday that at one of the schools here in Dothan, Dothan has been restructured, the whole school system, and it's just a nightmare. But at one of the schools, one of the teachers that was just hired, she was hired one day, and she resigned that very day. That's how bad.
Wow. Wow. Miss Barbara.
And the turnover rate for teachers is higher than it has ever been. And here in Dothan, and I would imagine it's pretty much the way everywhere.
Yeah, I think it is that way everywhere. But I think it is going to take God. We have been trying to wake up the churches, and more are waking up. But we can't stop, because as the results are showing, our kids are porn ready. You know, we saw that. It's a letter really from Joan Landis a while back, but you know, I saw it again, and you've seen it, Miss Barbara, and it's really shocking that she says, you know, if you want to stop sex abuse, that one of the things that you must do is you've got to get these books that are in our schools out of our schools. Otherwise, you can just forget any sex abuse program or that you're trying to put in as going to
That's
stop
right.
sex
these
abuse.
They condition children to accept sexual deviancy and sexual mores, and they condition them to see these things as normal, and they're not. It's not normal for a child to be subjected to sexual activity. That is not normal. But these books that are in the schools now, such as It's Perfectly Normal, that title of one of the fifth grade sex books, you know, they're normalizing all this deviant behavior and putting it before the eyes of children who should remain innocent in their childhood years and be able to enjoy their childhood the way we did and the way others did before us, and not be sexualized.
Well, Ms. Barbara, it's you know, also the same week as this study came out, or this rather article came out from George Pullman, and there were other articles now coming out too. You know, we had found out about a 3-year-old that had went missing in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
A child that was kidnapped from a birthday party out there in a public park, and there's a picture, and you see the picture. There's a high rise behind the picture, and there's these two children playing, and there's a man coming through. This was a video that caught the perpetrator. You know, it's just amazing that right there, this man had the audacity not to be afraid of anything, of anybody that could be watching him. I mean, and that's what really, I think, makes a clear case that these people do not have their right minds. You know, they are changed.
Influenced as well, and they've been conditioned and subjected themselves to such deviant behavior and activity for so long that their minds they're just reprobate. That their minds are just completely decayed, you know, and. Yeah, he had no qualms about capturing this baby, little 3-year-old girl. Had no qualms about it, you know, He just had to follow his animal instincts, and but it's demonic, as and the mind is has been just decayed, you know, just reprobate. It's horrible, Diane. It's horrible.
And I think that I think we've got to look at ourselves. Yes, I think we have got to in our schools. We've got to really deal with our schools. Schools have no business doing what they're doing. We're hearing stories about
and often. We've created this monster. We have allowed sex saturated society. We've allowed it, and this is what you get as a result. It just is. If you don't want this kind of society, you do things differently.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, the Bible has, you know, we are the heart of the Bible Belt, we say. So we read the Bible a lot. And there's a scripture, and you know it, where it says you do not awaken a maiden too early. What was that you referred to the other day?
That's right. I think it's in the book of Ecclesiastes. That maidens, young ladies, are not to be awakened sexually until it's time for marriage, you know, until the time, and that's wisdom. And that reminds me of the story that Corrie Ten Boom, the precious lady, who was captured by the Nazis in World War II and in a concentration camp with her sister, Betsy. But before that, she was just carefully nurtured and raised and treasured and cherished by her father and mother. But she asked her father one day a question about sex. She was a teenage girl at that time, and her father replied, "Corrie, when we take a trip, how far in advance do we buy the train ticket? Do we get it way in advance, or do we wait until we're ready to get on the train?" And she said, "Well, Papa, of course we wait until we're ready to go." And he said, "Well, that's how it is with this. When you're ready, when it's time, then you'll be told and you'll know."
Oh, Miss Barbara, we have strayed away from the teachings of the Bible, and the teachings of the Bible are to give us life abundant. Who wants a society like this? I mean, everybody who has children is now so afraid for their children. And what kind of a world is this where, you know, you live in fear? But this is where we have got to, I think we've got to look at the enemy straight in the eye and realize that, you know, part of the enemy is really us. We have allowed our desire for entertainment to overcome our good sense that God has gifted us. And it's now really to confront our leaders, those that are over our education system, because it's proven you're not teaching our kids good teaching, but instead you are training them, you are grooming them to become future perpetrators, you know. And it's just really, who wants that? Who wants to raise their little boy to become future perpetrators?
Perpetrators and victims. Because all that conditioning does both. It, you know, it trains you to be accepting, and then it also trains you to be a perpetrator, as you said, as Joan said. But, you know, Diana, it goes way back to the First Amendment, which was never intended to give license to sin. And that can be proven quite easily. The later interpretations were from judges who had a wrong view, not original intent of the Constitution, but the Constitution as a living, evolving document that lives and moves and evolves as society changes, then the Constitution changes, according to these judges, these activist judges, who said that the First Amendment gives freedom of expression. That's not in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech is, but it does not include pornography. It does not include obscenity. It does not include anything like that. It never has, and the Constitution hasn't changed. Only the people that interpret the Constitution changed and allowed all this garbage to infiltrate our country and to become, quote unquote, normal.
Heartbreaking, Miss Barbara, that we have misinterpreted. That's really the enemy's ploy, isn't it, is to misinterpret and put forth lies. And that's one of our problems we're seeing in society today is we have people who, in a way, own the microphone, right, with CNN, spouting
yeah.
lies. And it's a yeah. drumbeat, and it's the same thing within our schools. I mean, all these lies that all these sex ed programs are going to make kids, not get pregnant. Well, we saw the article in Great Britain where they were forced to stop sex ed because they ran out of money. And lo and behold, not teaching sex ed cut their teen pregnancy rate in half. So, you know,
absolutely,
it works not to expose them.
That's huge. That is huge. I'm so glad you brought that up, Diana. That is huge. And it's
country. It's not even a city. It's a country. So it's like, oh.
I love it. I love it. You know, yeah. Children's minds are not supposed to be filled with all this stuff. And you fill it with this stuff, and then it becomes on their minds and in their actions. So, yeah, I, again, predictable, very predictable. I want to back up a minute to give you an example of what I was talking about regarding the First Amendment. Up until the 1900s, at some point in the 1900s, up until that point, it was illegal not only pornography in the mail, but even an advertisement for a lottery was prohibited from being put in the mail because a lottery is gambling, and that was not acceptable, and that was according to community norms and, according to religious teaching. So lottery, even the advertising of a lottery, was not permissible in the mail, to go travel by mail. And that's how strict it was. And that was the correct interpretation of the Constitution and the First Amendment.
Wow. We've come a long way, Ms. Barbara, which kind of reminds me of what's happening in Texas, in Austin Independent School District, where they are going to mandate that the children be taught these abhorrent sex acts, which to me is unconstitutional. You know, we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'm thinking, you really are damaging these children. Scientifically, it can be proven that this is, a damaging to them, to introduce them to this at such young age, to confuse them, to scare them. I mean, we hear that from Joan Landis, the latest in neuroscience, tells you that really pretty much back to what the Bible is saying, which is to teach kids things that are holy, good, and pure. You do not scare them. You do not start them off in this wave of fear, and that's pretty much what the schools are now being turned to which to me, there should be a case for a lawsuit, and I pray there will be one, that somebody will stand up and say, you will not be doing this. I hope the governor, lieutenant governor or whoever in Texas, that they would start this and protect their children. And I'm so proud when I saw that about the 7-year-old whose mother wanted to start those hormone treatments that in that case, the governor of Texas did speak up and say, we're going to investigate this. So all these things just happening, kind of like coming to a head, Ms. Barbara, and I'm thinking that is a good thing.
Well, yeah, if there's going to be people that will stand up and do what's right, yeah. Boy, oh boy, there sure is a lot coming against our family.
Yeah, and it is, and when we think about, we cannot say anymore that it's just happening in California, right? We cannot say it's happening in California. We know it's happening in Montana. I saw that world. Montana's kind of the same thing now. We're seeing that in Texas and New York. I just saw where they're also going to have a vote on a bill that pretty much does the same thing that the California bill does. And really every state in the country is going to be attacked. But I think what was done to the 3-year-old in Birmingham should be a rally cry for us. We're going to say no to evil. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to say no to evil. And the one of the sad things, too, is that these children, young people that are confused with their gender because of this gender dysphoria, they're not getting the help that they need. They're being led down the road, we got to do this because we got to help people see this as normal and to treat them well. People being treated well. But this is not normal. And let's face it, the suicide rate of that subgroup is huge because this is not normal.
That's right. That's right. And there's a despair that comes from it, and a hopelessness. It's a horrible thing to do to anyone, particularly a child. And, I saw something on Facebook recently that really clarified it. When a child, a 5-year-old, says to his parents, give me a cigarette, and they say, well, absolutely not. You're not old enough to. Well, give me a beer. Well, no, you cannot have that. That's harmful to you. You can't make that kind of decision. And then they're going to let a child make the decision to change their sex? Come on. That is outrageous. It is beyond the pale.
Oh, indeed it is, Ms. Barbara. It is a shock. Joan Landis is not able to come on after all, but we're going to have her on another day. Hopefully it'll be next week. And but we're I guess we're not going to stay on real long because I know you've got to get off too. And next week when she comes on, hopefully we'll be on for an hour. But Ms. Barbara, can you pray before we get off? And let's just pray because I think we've reached a time in our country where, the Bible warned us of this. And we have, people that do read the book, and we would recommend it to everybody because really that's, God wants us to have life abundant. And joy comes from Him. I mean, this world is just out of control, but, just like Paul, even though he was in prison, he found joy. Circumstances around us are not good, but because we have Christ in us, we can find that joy and we can find that peace. That passes understanding, and we would like to share it with parents that are out there, and they're seeing all these headlines. It's so frustrating to see that you're trying to help your child the best, and sometimes you're even trying to help them with Common Core, right, so they can pass. But now you're finding out it's really dumbing them down. So what a disappointment that, this is just wrong all the way around that you look at it. But it's so good to know that help is comes from the Lord, and something as simple, Ms. Barbara, as really reading your Bible to your child. I take it as a cleanser. This world is, yes, there's a lot of bad things in this world that that child's going to be exposed to. But, Ms. Barbara, something that I think that has been true forever is God's word is life-giving.
It absolutely is life-giving. And because he is life. God is life. Life more abundantly than we can even imagine. And he's the author of life and the giver of life. And in him is life, and when he lives in us, we have that life. And we have that wonderful, wonderful, incredible privilege of entering into his presence and communing with him, being in communion with him, being in unity with him, being able to talk with him and listen to him. And Diana, you're just so right about the Bible. It is life-giving. And that's why I read it every day. I don't start my days without the Lord, without prayer, and without reading his word. And it is life-giving. You know, I remember the years before I had given my life to the Lord. There was a lot of confusion, and not a lot of clarity, not a purposeful life. In Christ, there is purpose, and you realize the purpose that he has for you, the plan he has for you, which is to give you a life of hope and love and help and satisfaction, contentment in him. As you said, regardless of the circumstances that we're going through, in him is joy. And so we can have that. So if there's anyone listening who has not yet surrendered their life totally to the Lord, I just urge you to do so. Before I knew the Lord, it was as if I just existed. I knew there was more to life. I knew that, Diana. There's more to life than what I was experiencing, even though sometimes life was very good and you know, a lot of good times too, and but still I knew that something was missing, and that was that's what I found when I totally surrendered my life to the Lord and the Holy Spirit came upon me. And it was as if the heavens were open to me. And his word, I could read his word, and it came alive to me and fed me, fed my spirit, fed my soul, and helped me in every way. So I just pray that everyone will do that, because the Bible says that God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And that means every one of us, no exceptions. So let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of life, eternal life. But that, Father, we have that now on this earth, that we can have that when we give our lives, our hearts to you, Lord. And say, Lord, come in, cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness, and be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Save me and rescue me from all the tactics and wiles of the enemy and the sins that do so easily beset me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Father, we thank you that in you we can know you, we can love you, Lord, in a way that we've never known before, because you shed your love abroad in our hearts, and then your love abides in us richly. That's what your word says. Father, your word says that the fear of you, the respect for you, the reverence for you is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of wisdom. And Father, that's been the way. That has been the way throughout all of time, Lord. And we turned away from that. we've turned away from that in our education system. And Father, we know, we acknowledge that until and unless we acknowledge you and teach truth, the truth, the biblical truth, Lord, that you've given us, that we're not going to have real education and real learning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can know you and love you and learn from you, and that's what we want for our children. Help us, O Lord, to turn this around for and back to you, O God, for all our children, for our families, for all our people, Lord. For in you is life, and life more abundantly. And we pray this in the precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara, and listeners. We are so grateful for living in this land of the free, home of the brave, and we hope that you will be one of those that will think about what was just said today and do your part. We are not unempowered, as someone has said before about a situation with the Common Core, and I think that is so true. And Ms. Barbara, one of the great things you are doing is really promoting the In God We Trust posters to be, you know, placed in schools, and that is happening all over Alabama. There are other states doing this, so whoever you are, if you're listening and your state's not doing that, get some like-minded women and start the process. Start the process. It can be done. It has been done in many states. And as Ms. Barbara and me were talking about the Bible, Ms. Barbara, it was so wonderful to be able to read to the children the stories of the Bible, the story of David and Goliath, the story of Jonah and the whale, the story of Esther. And I think what rings true, and, you know, when you read that to your children, you open that Bible and you look at those scriptures, if they can read, let them read it. There is something that happens, Ms. Barbara, and I think one of the things is it opens the minds of children to faith, to the fact that, you know, there is someone above, God above, that is able to do the impossible. So even though things look dire, look bad, like we're seeing it with a Common Core, it's good to remember that God is there, and he can make the difference, and he has done that throughout history, right, Ms. Barbara? And really, he does it for our lives. I mean, people that don't know God, they really need to know God, because you and I can testify to a lot of things, right, that he has made a difference in our lives.
Amen. Amen. That is truth, Diana. Thank you for that word of wisdom.
Well, we hope that you are listening will remember that if you don't already know the Lord. But if you don't know him, wow, we invite you to come and know him. And I love that what the Bible says, Ms. Barbara. I finally realized when it says, you know, the Bible is sweeter, the Word of God is sweeter than honey. Whew.
Yes.
And you agree, because you make that a priority first thing. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. So we ask people, hey, grab a Bible, get a Bible, and find out for yourself. You know, it's not just for me and Ms. Barbara. I mean, isn't
that's
that a
right.
sad thing, Ms. Barbara, when people think, you know, oh, that's not going to happen to me. It's not for me. And then they hit a snag in their life. And when they hit that snag, they don't know what to do. But they need to grab that word, that book, and have it ready. If you're not ready to read
That's
it now,
right.
have it ready, right, Ms. Barbara? Because
That's
there's
right.
going
to
come a time
yes.
that you're going
to
be glad. Okay. Well, with that in mind, we're going to say goodbye from City on the Hill Radio Show. And we're so glad you tuned in. Sad that Ms. Joan Lannis could not join us after all. Something came up. But she will join us next week, because she was really looking forward to this. So we will let you know next week when that will be. So God bless you. Have a great weekend. Goodbye. Bye, Ms. Barbara.
Bye-bye.